The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily radio show. We had a busy and active weekend here at Edstone. We're still in the midst of our Philadelphia Youth Camp. That carries on until Wednesday night of this week. But as for the weekend, we had a dance a Saturday night, and then it was probably the most beautiful day we've had yet yesterday, Sunday, with lots of sunshine and quite a few outdoor activities. So all the campers, including me, got some nice sun out in the activities. I played flag football with one of the boys' dorms just after lunch. Had perhaps one of my worst games ever as a quarterback. But the guys were right in the game up until the end, and I commended them on staying with it and having such a positive outlook and even weathering the storm of my many, many interceptions. In any event, I came away from that a little bit sore and then couldn't resist the temptation to hop into a softball game last night, which ended up in a 19-19 draw, of all things, as we went right up till sunset, basically, with a really spirited and enjoyable game of softball. And some of the others were out playing soccer, and they were learning some more advanced dance moves. Dance at this year's camp has just been a huge success. Lots of participation, and according to our dance instructors, quite a few good dancers as well. Well, together with all that activity, we've received some further instruction through lectures and such. My father, we listened to a lecture that he gave recently on building leadership, and he used the example of Winston Churchill and showed us how that Churchill's life, he had a lot of disadvantages in his family, a dysfunctional family growing up as a boy in so many ways, and he didn't even get to spend that much time with his mom or his dad. But he did have a lot of attention from his nanny, and he had a lot of other activities in his life that really did shape and mold him into the leader that he eventually became. And one of the points that my father made was that if God can intervene in Winston Churchill's life and help to make him great, what can he do in our lives? How can he intervene in our lives? You know, it's interesting. I'm reading this book right now that someone gave to me a year or so ago on God and Churchill. And one of the things the authors bring out at the start of this book is that for all of the books that have been written on Winston Churchill, there really hasn't been much said at all about God working in his life or preparing him for that role. And of course, when I read that, I thought, well, these are authors that obviously haven't read anything that we've produced in our church. The Winston Churchill booklet that we've produced. But then there's other things and statements and messages, just like the one we heard over the weekend, where, the God's church has been saying all along that he was a watchman. He was used by God, and even referred to there in a prophecy in Ezekiel. Of course, God intervenes in the affairs of mankind. You know that if you're grounded in God's word, you know that truth. It just made me appreciate how much we've been given in this church. When you read this book and you see someone there talking about how, yeah, this is a message that just really has never been proclaimed. Well, it has been proclaimed in this church, that's for sure. It's interesting, too, when you just step back and look at all of the messages and the lectures that go into each of these camps and how God has a way of just kind of weaving it all together and really planning it all from start to finish. One of the points that my father made in his lecture on building leadership was how that Churchill really learned to love and to use the English language. And my father took that point and admonished all of us in God's church and our young people to really work at appreciating and loving the language that we know, because we have such a beautiful message to deliver. And God says, you've got to run with this message. And he draws attention to the feet of those running because they're out there. I mean, they're out there using the language to proclaim God's truth. And then as far as God orchestrating all of these camps, I mean, following after that lecture over the weekend, here today we have a field trip later this afternoon for all of the young people here to visit Stratford-upon-Avon just down the road. And to see William Shakespeare's birthplace. You talk about someone who loved and used the English language. Shakespeare and Churchill, I mean, what better examples do you have than that? So we're hoping that this afternoon's field trip will be yet another fun and educational experience for these mini campers. Well, on today's show, I just want to follow up on some of the content that I used for Friday's program. That program, Snapchat, smartphones, and the closing of the teenage mind, that was Friday's program, and it was posted at thetrumpet.com, the website. If you haven't heard that yet, you can go and listen to it. And in looking at my notes from Friday, I meant to get into the example of King David there at the end. I just ran out of time. But David, of course, is an ideal example of a teen who really did develop his mind and many unique talents, special talents and abilities. David was an educated teenager. David lived an exciting, fun, enjoyable life in service to God. We talked some about that way of life. This is the life. That was the title we chose for the trumpet brief that went out on Friday. We had quite a few emails, by the way, that came in response to that brief. And coming up in the next segment, we'll be going through quite a few of those. And also going through a few emails coming from you listeners that are telling us about your wonderful experiences at youth camps in God's church. If you'd like to join in on the fun to tell me and the listeners here to this program about your experiences at PYC or at SEP before that, you can send in those comments to td@kpcg.fm. Well, I thought I'd begin with a clip that I believe we played this on Friday. This is one from the show that we'll just repeat here at the start of today's program. Clip one.
Yes, they come here and have fun. But the thing is, they get a new definition of fun. Some children have come to these camps that have been trying to get fun out of drugs, smoking marijuana, and then even worse things. They learn that that's no fun and that it's only harming and damaging them. But they learn things here and skills that really are fun and that are enjoyable. Now, we're trying to teach children at these camps some of the better things of life that are worth more than just money. Doing, giving, helping. They learn character here. They learn discipline. This is in 3 weeks, the transformation that is made in the lives of these children is unbelievable.
That's Herbert Armstrong from a program back in 1984, where the whole program, as I told you on Friday, it was devoted to the youth programs in the church. And that was Herbert Armstrong talking to the staff working at SEP about this unbelievable transformation that happens. We had a fireside chat on Friday evening with all the campers around the fire, and we talked about how PYC has changed the lives of these young people. Some of them, of course, have been to PYC before, and so it was the ones that had been to a few PYCs that maybe spoke the most. As they talked about, some of them saying, well, my first camp, one of them said, actually wasn't that great because I came with just a stubbornness. And I wouldn't really give in to the program and really have the right attitude. And then it was a lot different the second time around, as I was more open to what God was teaching, as I was more open to what they wanted to get across at these camps. and so many others chimed in along the way. They come here and they learn a new kind of fun, and as they submit to it and really go with it, and really get the most out of the program that's right there in place, what a transformation that can take place. And that trumpet brief I sent out Friday, I included this particular quote from 1967. This is an article that Herbert Armstrong wrote. And he talked about these youth camps. And he said, these kids are kept so busy in work they enjoy, in study they find absorbing and exciting, in recreation, swimming, canoeing, powerboating, water skiing, in games and fun. He says, there's no time for mischief, moral or otherwise. They're kept busy right up until bedtime, and then they're so tired, they're glad to go right to sleep. And why were these young people at this camp so happy? He says there was a reason. Because they had been under authority, this camp was well organized. They had, in their turn, first submitted their wills to God, allowed their minds to be teachable, to let their Maker teach them His ways, His laws. And these were the ways that regulated these young people in camp. The result? Well, they enjoyed that camp. They were happy. They had fun. The kind that didn't boomerang. And then Mr. Armstrong said later, put to the test, God's way really paid off. He says, it will in your life too. I mean, put this program to the test. You'll hear coming up in the next segment some of these emails that I've collected. I mean, parents are out there talking about, well, the challenge is just putting this program in place that you have at camp. And then doing it consistently in the home, they mean. Well, they come here and they enjoy all of these activities. And that's a real point that we stress, how important it is. Well, I concluded with the program on Friday with that proverb. Proverbs 20 and verse 29, where it says, the glory of young men is their strength. I mean, God identifies strength and energy as a defining and glorious quality among young people. And He wants them to be valuable assets to God's work and God's church. And they can be that way if they stay fit and strong physically. What a help. What a support for all that God is doing in His work. Let's look at this example with King David. What a remarkable teenager he was. What an active teenager he was. And what glory he brought to God, even in the days of his youth. That's really where the focus needs to be in so many of these programs in God's church. Mr. Armstrong brings that out over and again. Just how that this is the most important group that we can receive. Or rather, reach. I've read those quotes to you before. Let me just play another soundbite for you. This comes from a TV program that Mr. Armstrong produced in 1985. I mean, this is shortly before he died. Clip two.
The reason for all of the troubles in the world could be stated in just two words: human nature. And human nature is an acquired type of attitude and intention of mind. We were not born with human nature. We acquired it after we were born. The best hope that we humans have of bringing world peace does not come just alone from our efforts as adults, but is going to come through the training of little children before they acquire this human nature, and teaching them to be generous and to give. So I am so happy that our foundations are joining hands together to work not only for world peace, but also to promote everything we can for the teaching and the training and culture of little children.
He was obviously talking there about an alliance that the church had with some other international organization. And he stressed there the importance of training the little ones, teaching and training the little children. That's the best hope that we humans have of bringing world peace. There's nothing more sad and tragic than as I've seen a few times when traveling through the Middle East, there in Israel or the West Bank, and just seeing the hatred that comes out of a little six-year-old. You'll sometimes see video of youth camps in Gaza where Hamas is there raising terrorists, basically. Well, if it's done the right way, here is the hope of a better world, the hope of a new tomorrow. It comes down to the teaching and training the little children in God's principles, in God's truths, in God's laws. Here in 1 Samuel 16, in verse 7, notice what it has to say about righteous leadership, about King David and his example. This is when Samuel's about to anoint the future king of Israel. And God said to Samuel, "Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Eternal sees not as man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." God doesn't see man as man sees man. God looks on the heart or the attitude. It's like that example of the camper who came with the wrong attitude. And maybe he was able to conceal it to some degree. But I'm sure his overall experience wasn't that positive. It wasn't that happy to begin with there at that first camp just because of a wrong attitude. And when that changed, then everything changed. We're here to develop a heart like God's. That's what it says about King David's heart in Acts 13. He had a heart like God. He learned to think like God. And you can look into the prophets, Isaiah in particular, and see just how different God thinks when compared to human beings. And yet, true education involves ridding ourselves of that carnal, satanic-influenced nature and taking on the nature of God, the mind of God, the thinking of God. That's what it means to be converted. That's what we're preparing our young people for. Conversion to God's truth, to God's way of life. Baptism into the family of God. Well, you know the story here with Jesse and his sons. And Samuel gets through to the end of them and says, "Well, none of these are the ones that God wants to set apart. Are all of your children here?" And Jesse said, "There remains yet the youngest, and behold, he keeps the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down until he comes here." And he sent and brought him in, and now he was ruddy, it says, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Eternal said, "Arise, Samuel, arise and anoint him, for this is he." David was the youngest of the eight brothers. He wasn't as impressive on the outside as some of the older brothers were. But when you dig into this story, you see that, I mean, you can see why that he was so impressive in God's eyes, in God's sight. David was a balanced and well-rounded teenager. He had spent a lot of his time outdoors with the sheep. You can see, again, I can't read all of the sections here. But he obviously confronted Goliath, and before that he had killed a lion and a bear that threatened the sheep. I mean, God was impressed with this young man. My father wrote an article. I went through some of this with the campers last week. It's a great piece back in 2008, a true education article from, that's our youth magazine, by the way. But the title is Lessons from David. And my father said to the young people in the church, God is choosing his nobility, his royalty today. He wants you to be talented and to develop your talents. Do you develop your talents the best you possibly can? Are you preparing to lead the world in that way? David clearly developed his talents diligently. And surely that must be part of the reason God chose him. David wasn't some fool who didn't know anything. He was a very intelligent young man, but first of all, he sought God, and as a result, God kept opening doors for him. My father went through, I think, 4 points in that piece. 4 points for our young people. The first point, he said, was to develop your talents. To develop your talents. David did that. Samuel anointed him here in this passage, and then he sent him right back into the field. I mean, when you think on that, he was here's David converted as a teenager, and yet he didn't become the actual king of Israel for another 17 years. And so a lot went into his training, his preparation for being king. He had to learn even more following this anointing. And you could say it was like he was a king on the run. Saul was trying to kill him, of course. And David was living in caves. He was on the run. He just had his little band of faithful warriors. I'm getting a little ahead of the story, but carrying on right here, it says in verse 15, well, you know, the Spirit of God departed from Saul, and he was troubled by this evil spirit, the scriptures relate. And then verse 15 here says, and Saul's servants said unto him, behold now, an evil spirit from God troubles you. Let our Lord now command your servants, which are before you, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon you, that he shall play with his hand, and you shall be well. So Saul was a troubled individual, very discouraged, depressed even. And so they needed someone to soothe him and to comfort him in these times of trouble. Verse 18 says, then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing and a mighty valiant man and a man of war and prudent in matters and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. God gives us here this little biographical sketch of David. All of these wonderful abilities and strengths that he had. He wasn't perfect yet, but look at what kind of a teenager he was. A skilled musician, really a genius in the making, prudent in matters. So he was a skilled communicator. He was a valiant man. That means he was courageous, a courageous warrior, in fact. What a man of balance and education. Verse 21, and David came to Saul and stood before him. And he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray you, stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight. Another point that my father made in that article, Lessons from David, was to be positive and outgoing. He said, if you're going to be royalty for God, you must also learn to be encouraging to other people. That's what a leader is. Are you an encouraging person to be around? If you're a young person, if you're a teenager listening to this broadcast or this podcast, ask yourself, are you an encouraging person to be around? Are you uplifting? Are you positive and outgoing? God was involved in David's life, and he really took on the personality of God, David did. He learned to trust God. He walked by faith. That's the third point my father brings out in that article. Learn to trust God. Even as a young person, even as a youth, learn to trust God. Learn to put your faith in God. My father asked, what problem are you facing and can't handle? There isn't any, young people. There isn't any. I don't care how giant the problem is. There is no problem that you can't handle if you face it the way David did. If you trust God and face your problems in faith, God will deliver you. And he will ultimately use you like he's going to use King David as a king in the world tomorrow. Let God fill your life. Learn to trust him. He says later, do you know God's way of life with all of your being? Can you show it? I mean, this is something we've really stressed here at this camp about being ambassadors for God. I mean, an ambassador really has to know all of the documents that he's handed each day. He's got to know the laws of his own land. He's got to be familiar with God's teachings through and through. Do you know God's way of life with all your being? Can you show it? Do you expect God to work miracles in your life? It's up to you, my father says. Your life ahead is what you make it, what God makes it through you. It really is up to you. It really is up to you, young people. I mean, you've got to go after it. You've got to go after this way of life. I'll read an example coming up in the next segment from one of our former campers who really had a defining moment at PYC where he made a decision that might well have saved his life, spiritually speaking. You have to choose. It really is up to you. The last point that my father made in that article from 2008, Lessons from David, that's in the True Education magazine. The last point he made, stand in awe. Stand in awe of God. I mean, there's so many things to be impressed by when looking at God and his creation and his power and his work. My father says David was dazzled by God. And he refers to some psalms. You can read Psalm 8, or my father references Psalm 129 and verse 2. My father said, ask yourself, who am I to be a youth in God's church? It's not like these youth in our church, in God's church, are denied any special privileges, or like it's something that they have to dread coming into the church. It's the ones who aren't a part of these programs that are suffering. How should we be, or why should we be so privileged, my father says? Why should we be so honored with billions of people out there? Why us? He says, finally, see beyond getting caught up in what you want right now to this indescribable blessing God has given you. He says, as long as we have that attitude, God's going to bless us day after day after day. And you'll see that. You'll see those blessings, some modern-day blessings coming up in the next segment when I go through some of that feedback that we've gotten from people that attended PYC's many, many years ago. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email us with some of your camp experiences, you can send those comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Today's free offer is Herbert W. Armstrong's book, The Incredible Human Potential. During the 20th century, Mr. Armstrong was recognized and respected by leaders in government, industry, and education around the world. He was even known as an unofficial ambassador for world peace. In The Incredible Human Potential, you will learn why man hasn't known the way to peace. Request The Incredible Human Potential. All of our literature is free, and all of your information remains secure. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily Radio Show airs every morning at 7 a.m. Central Time on KPCG 101.3 FM in Edmond, Oklahoma.
Thanks to everyone out there who's been sending in some email feedback. We've gotten a lot of response from some of you listeners giving us their PYC experiences, lessons learned over the years, and just so many people who are grateful for these youth programs. We also got a lot of response on Friday to that trumpet brief that went out, the program on Friday. We drew some material from that for the trumpet brief at the end of the day, and quite a few of you emailed back. This one here says, my local gym has a teen fitness promotion right now, and I've signed up both of my teenage daughters. I encourage them to attend 5 days a week. So far, it's working fairly well. I'm trying to set the example by going myself 4 to 5 times a week as well. We also have limited device time per week and instead go to the library for books. Now, to keep up with consistency, this is the big challenge. So there's a parent who's doing his part to really try to keep his daughters motivated. Again, as we read in that first segment, Proverbs 20 and verse 29, God says, "The glory of young men is their strength." I mean, our young people really should be striving to be fit and energetic. That's something that God really and truly does see as glorious. Another one here says, "I grew up in the 60s, and as you know, there were no smartphones or laptop computers. It was the days of running through the sprinklers with my friends and roller skating and ice skating and baking homemade cookies. My children didn't grow up in the PCG. Sadly, they were influenced by the ways of the world." But she says here, "In the world tomorrow, we won't see lonely teenagers." And you do have to have vision. You do have to, another proverb, Proverbs 29:18, I think it is, "Where there's no vision, the people perish." I mean, we have to see how far-reaching this family vision is, and we have to see into the future to where these camps, these educational programs are going to just fill the earth. They're going to be all over God's creation, and all of mankind will be able to receive these blessings, this true education. Another one here in response to Friday's brief says, because they spend, he's actually quoting a bit from that brief about how that because teenagers spend less time away from home, these smartphone-addicted young people are less likely to commit crime or to be involved in tragic accidents. He says here, "I disagree that they're less likely to commit crime or get involved in tragic accidents. Look at the tragic accidents cell phones, smartphones, and tablets are causing, like the many deaths of young and old drivers distracted while driving or with their cell phones, that is, or pedestrians walking into traffic. These facts can be easily secured." And he says here, "Secondly, crimes caused by thefts on these devices, as well as phishing or a fraudulent way of sending emails, pretending to be from reputable companies in order to obtain passwords, credit card information, and so on." And I think the point that Atlantic article made that we referred to on Friday is that teens are less inclined to get involved in alcohol-related car accidents, let's say, or to commit homicides. But as I noted on Friday, I mean, there's the increase in suicides. And certainly, as this individual brings out, there's all kinds of other related crimes associated with social media and with smartphones and so on. So he brings up a good point for sure. Another one here from Ontario, Canada. It says, "This is my son's third year at PYC in Edmond. This year, he came back with much more initiative in taking responsibilities on. He has much more energy in chores around the house and playing sports, especially basketball. I can't keep up with his busy schedule." It says, "He's made more friends this year from PYC. They keep in touch via email, and those friends last a lifetime." It says, "We live in the country, so the internet is very limited. Not much time is spent on devices. Our two boys are very happy playing sports outside and climbing trees. There's so much to do in landscaping work to keep busy." It says here, "My husband once had a conversation with his employer, and he told my husband that we're too strict because we don't have any playing devices or video games. They are much happier without them, and so are we." It says here, "It is on the call of the parents, because it's easy for some parents in this world to give them all of those devices. Spending time and talking with our children takes effort." And it says, finally, "Satan surely uses these devices that can become idols, so we keep our teens very busy with chores, studies, and activities." That comes from one of our readers in Ontario, Canada. Another one here says, "We instituted long ago a weekly family night every Wednesday. On this night, we eat dinner, study the Bible, and engage in activities together. We found early on the least memorable and unifying evenings are those involving screens," like with movies or video games, he means. "Those most memorable are activities that involve board games or athletic activities, or even better, games we made up. These nights allow for teamwork, interaction, and shared laughs. Of course, some of these family nights come with correction and tears. They aren't the easiest evenings, but without a doubt, they are the most rewarding. It says here, PYC requires planning and organization. It requires dedication from the top down to put the self aside and serve the teens. It's not the easy way to run a camp. It takes hard work from everyone, including the campers, but it yields abundant fruits. Everyone involved is richly rewarded. God is surely pleased. He says further, this comes from Missouri, by the way, but he says here, computers, phones, TVs, anything with a screen have its place, but certainly not the place of prominence given in the lives of most today. In fact, we could all stand to take a look at how much correspondence we have with others that is solely screen-based. Let's call each other. Better yet, let's stop by and visit each other. Let's pick up a pen and write a heartfelt letter. It was interesting. We heard a short lecture over the weekend by David Howard, who went to PYC's back in the 90s, and he had a handful of handwritten letters that he had written to many of his friends from camp. And, well, as he noted in his message, there's not too many that do that still today because of email and so on. But it was just, again, you kind of got nostalgic as an older, former camper myself, seeing all those letters. It did bring back some memories. In any event, going back to this feedback, it says, these are quickly becoming antiquated modes of personal correspondence, too inconvenient for the hustle bustle of today. It's easier, he says, to send an email or a quick text and get our kicks at the number of likes a particular post receives. We're liked, followed, favorited, friended. With terminology like that, it's no wonder our sense of digital self-worth is grossly overflated. It says here, in this area, adults must lead by example and establish the needed boundaries for their children. Happy kids do not happen by accident. In today's world, it takes deliberate, diligent action from parents. It takes direction and purpose. God's word reveals the way. And he says, finally, thank you and the TDRS staff for your ceaseless efforts to keep this more excellent way always in front of us. That comes from Missouri, and really he's bringing out a common thread that you see in quite a few of these emails about the camp program, about trying to implement it and then to stay with it consistently. And really that's what so much of child rearing is about. It's about establishing a little PYC program inside the home. Mr. Arndt, I put this in the Trumpet Brief on Friday, this quote from 67. Well, I read it in the first segment again. But that bit about Mr. Armstrong saying that the young people come to these SEP camps and they're kept so busy, and they're kept busy right up through to bedtime, and then they collapse under their pillow and go right to sleep. He talks about how the lives of these young people at PYC or at SEP, they're regulated. There's government. There's authority. There's organization. There's structure. And he said at the end of that quote, that if you put it to the test, you'll see that God's way really pays off. I mean, there's a way of life, a more excellent way. It's put into practice at a PYC. And the real challenge for us as parents, the real challenge for us as families, is to implement that in our daily lives. It's really for us as adults and parents too. Put it to the test. It will, in your life, it will change your life too, Mr. Armstrong said in that 67 piece. Another one here says, thank you, Mr. Fleury. I'm a member for 8 years. I'm 75 years old, and it makes me happy to see the change in the teens when they return from the camps. Another one coming in says, this article had me reminiscing of my childhood. Although we didn't have the types of activities found at PYC, tree climbing, hula hoop, frisbee, volleyball, and plain old softball, along with a heavy dose of chores, kept us out of mischief. It's going to be nice to see children laughing and playing in the streets of Jerusalem in the world tomorrow. So there's another one who was reminiscing of his childhood days and also thinking ahead to when this millennial way of life will spread over the earth. Another response here says, how do you keep teens happy? This individual writes, homeschool, work, no television, no cell phones, no computer. He says, I have a 13, 14, 16, and 19-year-olds at home. And it says the 19-year-old just joined a convent in Madrid. How about that? By the way, we have these emails go out to 18,000 people, and we've gotten responses from all types. We certainly have. Here's one. I mean, a pretty rigid upbringing these young people have had. It says the Order of the Sisters of Merciful Love. That's the name of the convent, I guess. It says the other three will not be going to a four-year college, as it has turned into a social brainwashing disaster. 70%. Well, he goes on and gives some statistics about just how ineffective college education or college training is today. Another one here coming. We had quite a few actually that came in from different churches out there that appreciate the content that we're providing through emails and through our literature. It says here, I've read your article in the latest Trumpet Brief dealing with young people and modern technology, and I have to agree with you. It's encouraging to learn that the PCG has programs for the young people of the church. It says, I am a mentor at a local high school, and it's very clear that the education system neglects teaching young people to communicate face-to-face in each mentoring session. We have a phone box where the students place their phones at the start of each session. This has proven to be very beneficial in trying to get the students to communicate face-to-face. And we've been encouraged by the progress that has been made. Another problem that has become very evident is the inability of teenagers to write properly. They're so used to tapping out their messages on the keyboard that when it comes to handwriting, the results are childish. And their ability to spell correctly is astoundingly bad. They rely totally on the spell check function. It says, in our church, great emphasis is also put on encouraging our young people at the annual youth camps where phones and iPads are not allowed, and they're taught God's way and encouraged to work together in the spirit of unity. The results are excitingly evident. We also conduct a men's biblical faith and development club in which the young men are encouraged to develop skills in a number of things, including the ability to speak in public based on the Worldwide Church of God Ambassador Speech Manual. So here's another case where the literature produced by God's church, I mean, it gets out there. It certainly does. And there's even other churches that use the material in some cases. Now, there have been some that have tried to do that, that have been scolded for doing so. In any event, it's pretty cool to see just how far-reaching the message really and truly is. Here's another one. It says, you're so correct with your assessment of the problems children can have by constantly using cell phones with each other and learning about much of the eye foolishness, as he calls it, on the internet in their lives. Yes, religious-based camps that young children can attend help them enjoy their life without worry. Bringing God into everyone's life, regardless of age, is so important. My church supports all our Sunday school children to go to camp every summer for many weeks or a month or more. Camp participation and face-to-face talk with our children while playing together in fun activities is very important for normal development, like current older generations of people did when they were raised. And it says here further, thank you for your free subscription to the Trumpet magazine that I receive in the U.S. mail. That's a response coming in from Honolulu, Hawaii. So the message spreads around the world, that's for sure. One last one here in response to that Trumpet brief on Friday says, thank you so much for your info on teens. As an educator and advisor to a Christian school, I am in so much agreement with you. The camps for teens sound so tremendous. Keep going strong, it says. I so enjoyed seeing you and speaking with you in Oak Brook. I think this is in response to my father's public appearance campaign. So she's confusing me with my father. In any event, she says, I so enjoyed seeing you and speaking with you in Oak Brook, Illinois. It was interesting that some local Christians warned me not to go, as they said, you're part of a cult. I prayed and came to hear you. I not only learned a lot, but also discovered that what they had said and what they believed about you was not true. These are interesting times in a world, in the world, and also in the eternal. It says, thank you so much. So that's an encouraging bit of feedback there coming from Illinois in response to my father's recent public appearance campaign, or his speaking campaign up there just a few weeks ago. Also, as I mentioned at the start of the show, we've gotten quite a few emails that have come in. Listeners to this program who are writing, in some cases, quite a lot of detail about their experiences at the Philadelphia Youth Camp in years past. We've been going strong now since 1992, so 25 years. We had a couple of years that we missed there due to the lawsuit over Mystery of the Ages. But we've seen now an entire generation pass since we started the Philadelphia Youth Camp back in 1992. And here's one who went to one of those earlier camps who says, I'm so grateful for my opportunities to go to PYC. Coming to camp deeply inspired me to get through the rough trials ahead of me. My family life back home was under strain and I didn't feel happy, but I knew God's way worked because I could see it in the lives of the ministers and other families in the church. They looked so happy together and they were so willing to serve and to give to others. I really wanted to do things the right way and someday have a happy family just like the ones I saw at camp. Playing sports the way they were taught at PYC taught me how to have a good sportsmanship. I had never cheered for the other team or wanted the other team to do well, but at PYC we cheered for everyone and encouraged them to keep trying if they didn't do well. We were taught that we were all family, brothers and sisters. She says, I wasn't good at sports, but I felt like I had my whole family cheering me on and encouraging me to keep it up. I love this way of playing sports, she writes. It really helped me to grow in character and to completely change my outlook on sports. She says further, later on, I had the privilege of being a camp counselor. One evening, I sat with my dorm after a long day of sports. It was the middle of camp, and they were losing that positive energy they had earlier in camp. As I reviewed the day and discussed ways to make it better, I told them I was a little disappointed that they weren't cheering much for each other. I didn't mean to discourage them by saying that, but they all kind of hung their heads and looked away, except for one girl, she says. She had a bright, understanding look on her face. She was nodding her head in agreement and showing me that she understood that they needed to change. When I looked at the other girls, I didn't know if they disagreed with what I said or if they were annoyed by what I said. I felt a little confused when I looked at them, but this one camper who smiled at me and showed me that she wanted to change gave me so much encouragement. And then she writes here, I then realized that when I received correction, I always hung my head down and waited for it to be over. Doing that is so discouraging and confusing to the one trying to help you. From that time on, I always keep that girl in mind when I receive correction. I strive to keep my head up and show that I understand I need to change and that the person giving me correction is trying to help me. She says, finally, seeing such a positive attitude towards correction is such a bright light. It really does make you stand out in this world that is very different from anything that you see in the world today, for sure. Another one here, this is another individual that went through all the PYC experiences and later attended at God's College and is now married and has a child. And she says here, when I first came to PCG at 13 years old, the camps were temporarily canceled because of the lawsuit over Mystery of the Ages. So when I finally got to go in 2002, I was far more appreciative of the opportunity. We didn't have a lot of money, and it was expensive flying to camp, so my mom and my three siblings all pitched in to make sure I had enough to buy a plane ticket. Looking back now, I realize what a family effort it was just to get me there. That hadn't even occurred to me, really, until writing this down now. She says, and then I went to camp and had the most amazing time. The activities and the friends and the memories all became a springboard for really my future in God's church. It's the same progression many others have had, PYC camper to Armstrong College student, PYC worker to AC graduate. It says, as a PYC counselor, I probably learned far more than I ever learned as a camper about God's way of love. Being followed around by 10 campers for 3 weeks is a huge leadership experience for a 20-year-old. And then she says here, and then the PYC AC experience became the springboard for my post-grad life, living in Edmond and having the opportunity to be a headquarters employee, going to Jerusalem for the Jerusalem dig. It says, and then fast forward to my life now, married to someone who also took the PYC AC path with a little baby that we can hardly imagine ever being old enough to one day send to PYC. But we owe it to God to make sure that she has those same experiences. It says, finally, you could say that plane ticket my family bought me back in 2002 took me a whole lot farther than Edmond, Oklahoma. The PYC experience was amazing, but especially because it didn't start and stop with the PYC experience. Thank you for the incentive to reflect more deeply on what camp did for me and for my family. That one comes in from Oklahoma. And then this last one here comes from Florida, and he writes, I'm a single and a graduate of AC, and I had a lot of memories at PYC. I had the honor of being a camper 5 times and also the wonderful honor of working at 3 camps. I can think of so many awesome memories and experiences, but there is one in particular that I will cherish to this day. He says, it was in 2010, and I was experiencing my 4th year as a camper. I had always enjoyed camp and was always very eager and excited to attend. That year was no different. Leading up to that camp, though, I was starting to gain a stronger attachment and tie with my friends in the world. I attended a public high school, and I was always a participant in school sports. I had a love for baseball and basketball. Around the time of my sophomore year, I had developed some strong friendships, and I had played in a pretty successful sports program. The school basketball team and baseball team both happened to be some of the best in the state, and many of my close friends happened to be teammates of mine in both of those sports. I was never spectacular, nor even as good as many of the players on either team, but I had played with a lot of these guys for years. He says, I remember always being pressured to give up on my religious beliefs to play with them. I was told that if I just committed to sports, that we could all rise to the top together. This was a great temptation, he says. But I still wanted to attend PYC. And actually going into it, I just wanted to get away and enjoy camp. He says, putting my phone away and just throwing myself into PYC was the greatest thing for me. I battled in my mind whether or not I should attend IA, that's the academy, the high school there in Edmond, Oklahoma. He says, I battled in my mind whether or not I should attend IA and get away from my friends or continue going to school and just hoping I could resist the temptation to follow their pressures. It says, about halfway into camp, I believe God showed me the decision I needed to make. I will never forget a Bible class lecture that you gave in which you implored us to focus on coming out of the world. He says, it sounds like you gave a similar lecture last week at Edstone. In any event, you really cautioned us on getting too close to our friends in the world and letting the glitz and the glamour of society get in the way of what God was desiring to give us. I remember sitting in my seat at that time and just feeling so guilty. You told us that if we would just commit to PYC and Imperial Academy and eventually Armstrong College, that God would do far greater things in our life than we could ever achieve on our own outside the church. Yet you told us that we had to make the decision. I was so moved and stirred that right after that lecture, I called home and told my parents that I wanted to attend the Imperial Academy online. It says, after that camp, I began my 1st year at Imperial, and from there I went on to AC and eventually graduated. He says, finally, I look back on everything now and I just feel so blessed and so thankful to God for the direction that he continually gives us. So some, as I said, some excellent responses coming in from all over the world, whether in response to the trumpet briefs or just to some of these admonitions I've given you over the last week and a half, to send us an email and to let us know some of your experiences at God's youth camps down through the years. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to send us some feedback or some comments, you can email us at td@kpcg.fm. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.